Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department is in with us this morning. Eric, good morning. I know you're looking forward to the snow, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I normally look forward to Fridays, but not with that forecast. Holy cow.
Yeah, no kidding. So if you're a regular listener, you know Eric always keeps us on top of fraud and scams impacting our area. And there's a big credit card leak you want to talk about to start things off.
It is a big one. So most people are aware that there's a lot of criminal organizations that trade information on what we refer to as the dark web. And there's a group known as Biden Cash. And last week, ironically, to celebrate their one-year anniversary, their birthday of being on the dark web, they released over 2 million credit and debit card numbers. The dump includes your full name, email addresses, as well as the credit card numbers, including the expiration date and that card verification values, that three-digit code. So obviously they could use, anyone that gets that information could use that to commit financial fraud. However, that information can also, we've talked in the past, can also be used by criminal organizations to continue to build on dossiers that they have of people to create a fuller profile of you. Maybe they're missing your email address. Maybe they have your name and birth date, but they don't have the three-digit card value of one of your cards. So the fact that that information is out there just illustrates the point that it's even more important for people to be proactive in protecting their identity, protecting their financial information. And we've spoken about before that with credit cards, you have a lot more consumer protections than you do with debit cards. So again, that's another reason why it's important to use the credit card for major purchases online, because you can contest if someone does make a fraudulent purchase using your credit card. You're not out any money. You can contest the charge, and it's a fairly easy process. If they have your debit card number, that money's been pulled out of your account already. So you might get it back, but it's going to probably take a while for the bank to do their investigation. So of these 2 million card numbers, advocacy group for consumers did a study, and they estimate that about 30% of them are actual valid, still working live card numbers. And that might not seem like a lot, but when you think about it, that's about 750,000 numbers that are out there that these criminals can use. And most of the credit card numbers belong to Americans. This was a worldwide kind of thing, but the majority of the cards were found to belong to Americans. So having that information, what can you do to protect yourself? Monitor your credit card or bank activity. Most credit cards, most banks have apps for your phone. That's a great way. You can go into that app and set up alerts. You can set up alerts to say, hey, if an international transaction occurs, notify me. If a transaction over $200, $500, whatever you want to set for the limit, those kind of things, you can get notifications and just be checking to make sure, because the sooner you catch the fraudulent charge, the easier it is to contest it and get it removed off of your account.
Okay.
Beware of phishing attacks because of this leak. I'm not aware of anything right now, but I can just imagine criminals using this to send out phishing emails or text messages saying, hey, your credit card is believed to be involved in this. Click on this link to verify that, you know, your number, your identity, all that kind of stuff. So be wary of that. If you get one of those text messages or emails, don't reply to it. Just delete it. Go right to the bank's website or, again, to the app and check there to see if there's an issue with your card. We've talked a lot about credit reports and credit freezes, and those are the combination of those two things are really the best insurance and best protection against identity theft. So if you go to annualcreditreport.com, in the past, you could always get once a year, you could get your credit report from the three different bureaus. Now, because of COVID and all the other economic uncertainty that's going on right now, they're allowing you to check your credit report weekly. So that's a great deal. It's free of charge. The only place that I believe is legitimate is annualcreditreport.com. We have that link on our website under our fraud page. There are other websites out there that you can get your credit report, but they may charge you.
Sure.
Don't fall for that. You don't have to pay for it. It's free of charge. And then you should also, I recommend people sign up for a Credit Karma account. Credit Karma is a company that, again, free of charge. You can monitor your credit score. You can monitor your credit reports. You get notifications if there's a change in your credit score, which might indicate fraud. It's a free resource. They make money because they present you with ads while you're on their site to maybe apply for a credit card, and then they get kicks back from that. But it's free of charge. And then we also recommend a credit freeze. And the most important thing with the credit freeze, I guess, is twofold. One, if you're going to set up a Credit Karma account, make sure you do that before you do the credit freeze, because you won't be able to do it after your credit's frozen. Okay. And then the second thing is, it's important for people to know that a credit freeze protects you from any new credit being taken out in your name, but doesn't affect any of your existing credit. So people worry, if I do a credit freeze, am I going to be able to use my credit card, or is it going to affect things like that? It does not. You can still use your credit card, and you still have the ability, if you want to take out a car loan, a mortgage, anything like that, apply for a new credit card, you can. You just need to do what's called thawing your credit, and that's a very simple process. You just go online, and to every one of the three bureaus has a website. Very easy to thaw your credit. You can thaw it for a day or whatever you need to do to make that loan application, and then it automatically just refreezes. So consider that for yourself. Consider it for children. There's a lot of identity theft out there that involves children's information, so consider that as well.
The other thing, you know, you mentioned, you know, if there's an issue with your credit card, and you talked about the, you know, the phishing attempts by people. It's been my experience, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but if there's an issue with your credit card, a fraudulent, you know, transaction or whatever, they usually call you, don't they? They don't send you an email to say, hey, we've got some issues here. Because I got a phone call, this is like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago.
Sure.
Because somebody had gotten my credit card number, and my credit card company called me saying, hey, there was some suspicious activity. They had charged like $100+ at a fast food restaurant and tried to buy something else as well. But that was all done by the phone. I didn't get an email on that. So is that
right.
Is that common? Is it almost always phone calls?
I've seen both. I think it has been typically phone calls.
Yeah.
Just the problem with that is you just can't verify who that person is.
That's
on
true.
The other line. And there's all of our information is out there. So many criminal organizations have access to it, that if they know that you're a Visa card holder, a MasterCard, whatever company it is, if they have that information, they have your phone number, your email, whatever, they can call, they can text. You never want to trust that unsolicited message. You always want to log into your account. I mean, it might be legitimate, and any legitimate company is going to understand that if you say, you know, I appreciate the notice, however, just to protect my information, I just want to make sure I'm going to log into my account myself instead of talking with you on the phone,
right.
Especially if that's unsolicited. I mean, if you're calling them, that's a different story, obviously. But
sure.
It's really a very simple step that people can take by just not giving out any personal information to unsolicited phone calls, text messages, emails, anything like that, because you really can't verify who's on the other line with caller ID spoofing, with all the different techniques that criminals use. It's impossible really to tell. So the best practice is almost everyone has a cell phone, a smartphone, and almost every one of these banks and credit cards has an app that's super easy to log into, and you can check everything you need to do from that app in a secure way.
Good advice. And some healthcare fraud you want to talk about too, Eric.
Yeah, huh? This is something we don't talk about a lot, but it's a big, in terms of money loss, it's a big problem. So you might get a bill in the mail for medical exams, procedures, prescription drugs that you never received, or you might get a call or an email if you're an older individual about your Medicare account, things like that. A lot of times those will be fraudulent types of calls. Sometimes providers commit fraud by double billing, billing you for things that you didn't actually have done, or what's called upcoding, where they change the code, the medical code, to charge you more for a procedure. Tactics that some of these criminals use is they send you an email or give you a phone call saying that you're eligible for a discounted health insurance, maybe that your Medicare card has expired or your coverage is about to get canceled, kind of create that panic and that sense of urgency.
Sure.
Or you might get a call saying you qualify for free medical supplies, medication, free COVID tests, whatever it is. Whenever you get these phone calls, again, I would always disconnect the phone call and then log in. If you have Medicare, if it's about your insurance, log in to your insurance company's website, your Medicare account on the website, call the number that you know is the Medicare number that's on the back of your card and see if there's an actual problem with your account. Never give your Social Security number, your Medicare number, health insurance numbers to anyone that you don't know and trust that you just get an unsolicited call. Remember, Medicare usually, unless there's a prearranged kind of a situation, doesn't call you. You have to call them to initiate contact. So they won't call you to say your card is being canceled or we have a deal for you. You initiate that conversation. Make sure you're reviewing your EOBs that you get from your insurance company to make sure that the coding is correct and make sure that you're being charged for what you thought you were being charged for and that there aren't any charges that you don't recognize. And then report suspected fraud either to the insurer or Medicare, or you can report it to the FBI. The FBI is who investigates those kinds of healthcare insurance because it crosses state lines. It's a bigger deal than than local law enforcement can handle. But there are cases where people, again, your information's out there, so people will take names, birth dates, social security numbers of individuals and obtain health care in a different state, maybe using your information. They obtain that health care pretending that they're you, and months later, you know, that bill obviously never gets paid, and months later you get a notice that there's a collection notice or something like that because you have an unpaid bill. So make sure that you're checking that information. And again, this is where a credit freeze comes into play. If you have a credit freeze, it's difficult for scammers to use your information a lot of times to obtain to get on like a payment plan for insurance and things like that.
All right. Good stuff, Eric, as always. Appreciate you coming in.
You bet, Kelly. Good seeing you.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right.